No name in heaven, on earth, or below the earth that will not bow at the name of Jesus. Father, today in Jesus' name, I pray that you expunge doubt and fear from our lives. And that, Lord, you'll replace it with faith that stands on the rock. His name is Jesus. Lord, guide us into truth. Lord, I lift up tonight. Lord, I pray right now you're going to put a name in everybody's mind to invite to come tonight. And that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would go before us and you would settle in their heart that they're going to take the invitation and they're going to come and they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I also want to lift up our nation and the elections that are coming up. That, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, your people will get out and vote for godly characters. And that, Lord God, this nation can be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, use us as your instruments of righteousness to proclaim the whole counsel of God to those that we rub shoulders with every day. Lord, I want to lift up a lady named Debbie right now who needs for her body to accept a transplanted lung. And Father, I'd ask you to touch her in the hospital and bring healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, for all those that we know that need a touch from you, Lord, reach out, bring them in your precious name. Amen. Good morning. All right, first and foremost, for all of you who are sitting in here going, I wish that Pastor would not get up and preach and Kurt could just keep worshiping. Come tonight at 6:30, all right? And he's going to worship with us. We're going to pray. It's going to be an awesome time. So please remember that. Give this day to God, all right? Your football team doesn't play anyway today, I heard. So you're all right, okay? Don't worry about it. And so tonight at 6:30. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you here this morning. There's a card in front of you that says connection card. Fill that out. Take it back to the Welcome Center. We want to get to know you. We want you to get to know us. And we just want to welcome you. I thank you for your tithes and offerings. Your faithfulness to God is appreciated. Not just by us, but by God. And he opens the windows of heaven and cares for you when you bring your tithes and offerings. We don't take that for granted. The room back here is called the Wiggle Room. And if you don't know what that is, it's for children that have trouble holding still and being still. And parents, if you're struggling to be still, you can go back there too, okay? And just so you know, but that's what that room is for. We need help in our children's ministry because we have so many children coming on Sundays. The greatest need is at the 10:30 service, the next service. So if God moves on your heart to help, talk to Dave or Stacy, and you can get involved, help, and take care of the children. Men, there's a breakfast Saturday, November the 3rd, 8 a.m. We're going to have breakfast here at Mount Zion, and then we're going out to Ryan Benchmer's property, and you can sight in your rifles for deer season or whatever you're going to go hunting for. So be ready, okay? And that's the 3rd of November. There's a welcome lunch October the 28th. If you're new here to Mount Zion, we want you to come and get to know us, and we want to get to know you. And that's after the 10:30 service on October the 28th, and you can RSVP mtzn.com/welcome so that we know how much food to have, all right? If you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, the message is titled Free Range Christians. Free Range Christians. I'm going to read the chapter. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Father, make these words meaningful in our hearts today, and help us to carry them out in Jesus' name. Amen. First point in your outline, Peter has experienced everything he exhorts his readers to do. You see, everything we're going to talk about, I'll bring up examples from Peter, but Peter has, he has experienced it. He's not saying to the pastors and the shepherds of the flock, do something that I haven't done. He's done it. He's experienced it. See, that's very important to me, because it's different when I know someone's gone through something and they tell me what to do, rather than when they're just talking about something they haven't experienced. He's experienced it. For the first part of this message, I need you all to look at me and at the leadership at Mount Zion. You see, you have to judge whether we're good shepherds or not. We know one thing here at Mount Zion. If we don't do our job properly, you will vote with your feet and you will leave. So I want to be transparent with you, and I want you to look. And the first part of this, you have to look at us, and you have to judge what we do according to what Peter says. So here's your first point. Called shepherds must be willing to care for God's flock. You see what he says here in the second verse. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. You have to decide if I'm doing this for a paycheck or if I'm doing this because I can't do anything else, or why I'm doing this. He says, not because you must, but because you are willing, because you want to serve. It's very, very important. This is not a job. This is a ministry. A pastor, a shepherd, is supposed to be an ambassador for Christ. When you talk to me, you should walk away. When you talk to our staff, you should walk away saying, I just met with somebody that loves Jesus, and it's like meeting with him. Peter says, be willing. Be willing. I have a great example of this, and I have his permission to share it, but I told him I wouldn't use his name. But I have a good old friend who's a World War II veteran. See, serve because you're willing. And he was a squadron leader, and he was 18 years old, and he was wounded in World War II. And so he went to they take you to the back lines, and he said, they patched me up. And then they told him, you can take several days, you have this many days that you don't have to return to the front lines, and you can stay here and you can recuperate and begin to heal. And he said he took 2 hours and he went back to the front lines with his squadron. I said, why'd you do that? He said, They were a bunch of young guys that just got there. They were greenhorns, and he said they all would have been dead if I would have waited to go up front. They didn't know what they were doing. I thought to myself, now that's willingness to serve, folks. And they said, you can take this time. You can take off. You don't have to go. And he said, if I don't go back up there, those guys don't have a clue what they're doing. They'll get their heads taken off. You see, that's what Peter's talking about. He's talking about, do you really care about the flock? He says, take care of them. Not because you have to, but because you're willing to. And what you have to do this morning, and I want to keep reminding you, you have to look at me, and I have to look at all of our staff, and I have to make sure that we're doing this because we're willing to do it. The other thing is, are we called? I remember coming into the office that's mine now and talking to the senior pastor, and he said to me, we want to bring you on staff part-time, and we'll pay you this much, and he went through all the details. He's not going home. Talk to your wife. And on the way home, I'm thinking to myself, is this going to work out financially? You know, is this going to work? What's this? And God, clear as crystal, he just said, you're asking the wrong question. So I'm smart enough to go, what is the right question? He said, have I called you, and is it my will that you're here? Changes everything, doesn't it? So when I got home, I didn't talk about money. I talked about, have we been called to do this? Has God called us? If you're trying to do this and you're trying to be a shepherd and you're trying to lead God's people and be His ambassador and God hasn't called you, you're in a heap of trouble, folks. And again, from your perspective this morning, you have to look up here and go, is He called or isn't He? See, that's what Peter's talking about. Your next point, love of money has potential to distract, destroy, and disqualify a shepherd. Hear what he says. He says, you have to do it because you're willing. You see that? As God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. In the old King James, I love it. It says, not going after filthy lucre. We sit here and go, what's that? But it has a great ring to it, doesn't it? He's chasing after filthy lucre. And you can't do it. See, it can't be about the money because you'll be disqualified. It will just mess up a shepherd. It will distract him. It will destroy him. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, speaks about it, all right? The Gospel of John, chapter 10, Jesus calling himself the good shepherd, verses 12 and 13. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away. Why? Because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Are you called or aren't you called? Do you care about souls of men or don't you care about the souls of men? Do you care more about the buildings or do you care about the people in the building? Or in my barnyard theology, are you more worried about how the barn looks or how the cattle living in the barn are doing? Does that make sense? And Peter says, take care of the flock. And you can't go after money. Now, I think Peter has experienced some things here that brought it through. Anybody remember Acts chapter 5, a couple named Ananias and Sapphira? Right? And they brought money in and they said, now we sold the farm for this amount and this is all we got for it and we're giving it all to the church. And Peter said, you just lied to God. Bam, they dropped dead. You think that didn't have an impact on Peter? Like, God, what are you doing, Peter? It's not about the money. When the wife came in, Peter said, hey, did you sell your farm for this much, and you gave it all to the church? And she said, yes, I did. And he said, the footsteps of the guys that just carried your husband on are walking back in. Bam, she dropped dead. Am I glad God doesn't do that in every situation today? But it's not about the money. And Peter had this example that I think settled in his heart and said, guys, get your eyes off the cash. Get your mind and your heart into the souls of the sheep and taking care of them. See, there are three things he lists here. Number one, you have to be called and you have to be willing. You can't be after the money. And here's the third thing. Authority can be used to deliver or destroy sheep. Peter understood authority. He said to a lame man one day, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And man, he had authority, didn't he? He experienced the authority of God when those two people dropped dead right before him. And he understood authority, but we have to understand in the church, authority can be used to deliver or destroy sheep, okay? In 1 Samuel, again, David, the shepherd boy, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 37. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I want to stop there and ask you, what would you have done? Would you have done, that'll probably satisfy the lion for a while. I think I'll just kick back and sit by the fire. That's not what David did. He was a true shepherd. He was called. I went after it, struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And then it turned on me, and I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Folks, that is authority given by God, and he used it to rescue the sheep and take care of the sheep. That's a good way authority is used. But I want you to remember the point, you see. It can be used to destroy or to deliver the sheep. We turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and there's two verses, 14 and 15. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die. Hear what I'm saying. Authority can be used to deliver or to destroy. And in this sense, David had sinned, and he gave orders to Joab. And Joab, his commander, because he had authority, he would never defy David's authority. He did this. Peter had firsthand experience with Simon the sorcerer. Peter and John laid hands upon people and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And Simon said, here, he offered them money. He said, I'll pay you for that kind of power. And Peter said, you and your money rot, he said. He said, you have no part with God because your heart's not right. And we have to use authority properly. And today, as a pastor, what I want to say to you is I want to apologize for all the pastors and all the leaders who have used their authority in a wrong way. And folks, I'm here to tell you, in church history, they burnt honest, God-loving men at the stake because they had authority and they used it wrong. And I'm here to tell you, it's just dead wrong. And we need the church to rise up with good shepherds and good pastors who won't abuse their authority and they'll understand what God's called us to do. And I'm here to tell you the church suffers because they've misused their authority and they've spoken, oh, don't touch God's anointed. And they weren't anointed at all. They were misusing their authority. And so again this morning, you have to look at the leadership here at Mount Zion and you have to make a judgment call and you have to take the scripture and you have to look at it and say, are they called? Are they after the money? You see? Are they using the authority God's given them in the proper way? I can tell you one thing that none of the people here except maybe me are overpaid. That one thing I can tell you. I actually look at our staff and go, you're quite a servant to do what you're doing for what you're being paid. But you have to decide, and you have to look, and you have to understand, because you have to have confidence in the leadership and in the fellowship, all right? Now I want to move on to the reason that Peter's writing this. You know, the reason Peter says, hey, you shepherds, and he addresses them, is because there's a cause. A sheep, here's your next point, a shepherd-sheep relationship is necessary because the devil is prowling like a lion seeking to devour. You see, when King David came out there and the Philistine, when Goliath was making fun of Israel and challenging them, and all the soldiers were running behind their same rock every day and hiding because they were afraid of Goliath, David went out and inquired, and his brothers, they ridiculed him. They said, ah, you little rat, you're out here, you just want to see a fight, you know, you're a little kid, go back to those sheep. That's what he said. And then David said to them, he said, is there not a cause? He says, why is that uncircumcised Philistine causing all you men to run? That's what David said, is there not a cause? And I want to say to you today, is there not a cause? Is the devil not prowling around like a roaring lion? He's not the roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But it's my job to remind you of the fact that that lion is way more powerful than this guy going around like a prowling lion. But there's a reason, you see, and there has to be a sheep-shepherd relationship. And God has chosen to put men in between him and his flocks here. And you have to have the relationship. It's very necessary because that devil means business. And someone has to hold fast to the truth, and somebody has to go after that lion and that bear when they steal a sheep, and he's got to knock them right between the eyes and take care of him. And it's very important, church. Your next point, without a shepherd to protect them, free-range animals will become prey to the predator. It's kind of an interesting thing today. You know, the eggs you have bought this morning have been laid by free-range chickens. I raised thousands of chickens for my mother. My mother would not buy a chicken in the store. She would not buy a chicken. We had to raise our own chicken. We had to butcher our own chicken. She had to keep her own chicken in a freezer. We had to have our own eggs. We had a chicken house, and we had a couple hundred chickens in there at all times. I don't mind telling you, I don't exactly love chickens. Except on my plate. But I raised a lot of chickens. So when we quit farming, I live right next to the farm there, and there's a chicken house. And what's the first thing they did? They came in with a bulldozer, and they took out the chicken house. And then they rented the farm to somebody that had a lot of chickens. But they wanted free-range chickens. And I said to them, your chicken doesn't know where my yard starts and yours ends. No, we have free range. We want free range. They should be free to roam. And I said, well, here's the thing I just want to warn you about. Your chickens will die. What do you mean they'll die? I said, there's coyotes, there's fox, there's chicken hawks, there's raccoons, there's skunks. And I said, they prey on chickens. No, they'll be okay. So just a few months into this whole process, my son called me one day. He said, Dad, I'm sitting here looking out the window, and there's a fox in the neighbor's yard. And I said, does he have a bird in his mouth? And my son said, not yet. And I said, just keep your eye on him for a minute. He's not going to leave without a bird. So I emailed my neighbor, and I said, there's a fox in your yard. And he emailed me back, and he said, I'm missing two chickens, the neighbor's missing ducks, and there's a turkey gone down the road a few miles. He said, when you see the fox next time, shoot him. My, how things had changed. Guys, Listen to the point. Without a shepherd to protect them, free-range animals will become prey to the predator. Why were the cowboys out there on the range? They weren't out there to make Western movies. Do you know that? They didn't have a rifle here in their pouch because they were out there and they wanted to look cool and they wanted to shoot at other guys. They were out there watching over the cattle so that the cattle would be safe. And if the wolf or the coyote came along, they would shoot the varmint. They needed a shepherd. They needed someone to protect them. That neighbor moved away. But the next renters also have chickens. Lots of poultry. I said the same thing to them, and they said, no, we like free range. And the funniest thing, last year when I kept mowing my lawn, I kept finding these piles of feathers. Folks, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say there were piles of feathers in my yard. And I wondered, what's getting them? A coyote will grab them and take off with them. You know, they'll drag them away. And I was wondering, what's eating these things? And one morning I woke up, quite a few mornings I woke up, and I love this sound. Hoo, hoo, hoo. And I went, ooh, you know, you can find everything on the internet. So I went on the internet and I looked up bighorn owls and what do owls sounds they make, bighorn, large owl, what do they prey on? Chickens. And one morning, there he was sitting in my pine tree about 35 feet up, just sitting up there like this. And right down below, there's that pile of feathers. And you're about to look at somebody and go, did we come here to learn about chickens? Look at your next point. Pride says, I do not need a shepherd or the flock to survive the prowling devil's danger. Folks, I hear it constantly. You know, my church is out in the woods. It's okay. I hope your cell phone works if you get into trouble. And today we have this independent spirit in the church, and that's not God's design. God's design, and what Peter's saying is, now you need shepherds of the flock. And he talks about being in fellowship. He doesn't talk about Silas writing the letter and she who is in Babylon and Mark because he wasn't in fellowship. He was in fellowship. And there were boundaries, and there was protection, and there were those to be accountable to. And they were taking care of each other. You see, they were the body of Christ. Pride says, I do not need a shepherd or the flock to survive. And then he says, you young people, humble yourselves and submit to the elders. And I want to speak to teenagers and to young people today. Listen to your elders. I have elders I talk with because I want their advice. I want them to keep me on track and be accountable to them. Years ago at one of the machinery dealers, there was a stack of papers that said, hey kids, tired of listening to your stupid parents. That got all of our attention. And then the rest of it said, move out now, get a job, pay your own bills while you still know everything. They were gone in an instant. Hey, kids, humble yourselves before God's mighty hand. Talk to your elders. Listen to them. Take advice. Stay safe. We're not telling them to stay away from the party because we don't like you and we don't want you to have fun. We want you to be safe. And quite frankly, we've been to the party. And we woke up the next morning. Humility. It's your next point. Humility says, I need proper food and fellowship to stand against the wiles of the devil. The shepherd is responsible to feed and water his flock. Humility says, I will trust you. You see, what Peter is saying, if you're really going to serve, you have to give the whole counsel of God. I can't just give you the happy scriptures when you come in. Because you'll eat so much candy, the sugar will kill you. I had a neighbor one time raising steers for me. I gave him a steer, you know, bull calves, and he would raise steers. And he called me up one morning. He said, "Hey, Dave, one of the biggest steer, he's shaking all the time." And I said to him, "What you been feeding him?" And he says, "Well, my wife brings home donuts. She works at Dunkin' Donuts, and she brings home day-old donuts." I said, "When you dump the donuts, you're dumping them in the manger, aren't you?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'll bet you that big guy comes and sweeps everybody else away and eats them all, too, and doesn't he?" He said, "Yeah, they do." And I said, "He's on a sugar high. Get him away from the donuts. Everything will be fine." That was some sweet meat, I'm telling you. True story, though, the steer was fine after that. He had to wean him off of his sugar. We have to feed the right diet. One day I was watching a major TV news morning, and they had a pastor of a mega church on there, and he said, "God hasn't told me to ever talk about sin." And Paul's words came into my mind that said, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." I can't imagine the sheep that knew there was no sin. It was never talked about. Come on, folks. Humility says, "I need the proper food. It's my job to feed it to you so you understand it. And it's palatable so that you can eat it." You know, they told me to put baking soda in my ration, and it was very interesting to me. You could put a tablespoon of baking soda on top of a pile of feed for a cow, and that cow will eat all around it, and he'll leave that little bit of bacon soda. She won't touch it, man. She don't like it. It's not palatable. So then we got one of these mixer wagons. You mix all that feed together and you disguise that stuff and they lap it right up. I was called to a guy one day. He was struggling with his marriage and he didn't believe in Jesus and he wasn't a Christian, but he said, "I'll listen to you." True story, he came with a notebook. I had lunch with him. I told him, he said, "I'm going to do this." I said, "That's a bad idea. Don't give ultimatums. Don't do this." I just took him through biblical principles of how to walk through a relationship. His marriage was healed. And he said to his friend, "It's interesting. He didn't talk about God or give me any scripture or anything." And he said, "Dude, everything he told you was straight out of the Bible. I just had it in a total mixed ration, and he ate it." Very, very important, church. Next point, free-range Christians lack the proper food, fellowship, protection, and connection to acquire the peace and glory Peter speaks of. Stay connected. Be in fellowship. Get into a small group. Be in a Bible study. Have somebody that you're accountable to, that you can call when you get into trouble and you need help, so there's somebody praying for you. And somebody, if you're up on a ledge and you're thinking of jumping, I want somebody to talk me down without getting hurt. And this whole thing going on in the world of independence and I don't need to belong and I don't want to and blah, and there's a lot of reasons. And again, I apologize for the misuse of authority. It's wrong. But folks, the sheep need shepherds. And if you don't have the fellowship, you don't have the proper food, you don't have the protection, you don't have the connection, and then you miss the peace and you miss the glory that God has waiting for you. Again, Peter talks about the lady in Rome, in Babylon. That's talking about Rome. Matt talked to us about it when we first started studying this. He talks about Mark being in fellowship. He talks about Silas writing it. He's in fellowship. And this doesn't apply to all of you here, but I want to let you into our lives as shepherds. And this is what happens. We get distress calls every week. And I'm telling you the truth. We go to each other's office and we say, "Do you know this person? Do you know who they are? Do you know, do they come?" And some days we're like, nobody knows them. So I say, well, what are we going to do? One of us is going. And we answer the call and we go. And I pray on the way, Lord, I hope I recognize them when I get there. See, people are like sheep without a shepherd, folks. It shouldn't be that way. I love the body of Christ. Toughest days of my lives I've gone through with you. You know, that's what we're here for, isn't it? To help each other and watch out for each other. And when the lion comes roaring, you stop him in his tracks with the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the last point this morning, gather, grow, go be the healthy, humble, growing church. And again, you have to keep your eye on us and you have to decide, are we doing this? See? Because we're called. We're not doing it for the money. And are we taking the authority of God and handling it properly? Very, very important. And then get connected. Get fed. Be strong. So when the roaring lion comes, you are strong enough to get away. And you have the flock to surround you, to help support you. And you can have the shepherd who says, there's a sheep in trouble. We're going to deal with that predator. Father, I ask you to come today in the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, if there's any that are disconnected here, that are going, man, I just don't have any connections in the body of Christ, I pray for divine appointments today. And Lord, I pray that you bring your body together today. Because, Lord, if we stick together and if we work with each other, there's nothing that won't be accomplished according to your will, because we're strong. We're the body of Christ working together. Lord, I ask you to take your word this morning and let it accomplish in us what you've sent it to do. But, Lord, help us to be the body of Christ that just turns the city of Lake Geneva and Walworth County upside down for you, Lord Jesus. Again, Lord, I pray for tonight's service, Lord, that we would go out and invite people to come to it, and they would come and they would be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit, and there would be healing, reconciliation, there would be a peace that passes understanding here, Father God. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to be the church. God bless you.